Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
We have been in a series called Jesus Never Said That. And what we've been talking about is we've been talking about all these misconceptions that we have, things that Jesus never even actually said, but in our heads we believe, yeah, Jesus said that, or Jesus would agree with that, or you know, somebody told me once, or I read a book, or I heard a sermon, where somebody said, and it's just actually, it sounds logical, it sounds like something maybe Jesus would say. But if we actually look at the firsthand accounts of Jesus, if we look at the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, we see that there's so many things we think Jesus said that Jesus didn't say. Or there's so many things that we've kind of just twisted the truth a little bit of, and maybe said, oh, isn't there that one verse where Jesus says that one thing? No, actually, we've got it all wrong. We've got it messed up. Jesus never actually said that. Jesus never meant that. And if we look at what Jesus actually said, we get a perfect picture of who Jesus really is, and not only who Jesus was, but who Jesus wants us to be. And so we've been talking about all kinds of different things. We talked about how Jesus never said, forgive people, only if you feel like it. We said Jesus never said, go do what makes you happy. Well, Jesus never said, you'll never have a bad day. These are all things that we believe sometimes, but Jesus never said that. And I want to let you know, too, again, we're listening to your advice. We now have all of our services up on YouTube. You can watch them on YouTube. And then all of our podcasts, they were only on iTunes because I live in an Apple-run world. But we have learned, you Android device people, we now have all of our podcasts and sermons on Stitcher and on Spotify. So you can listen to it. This week I went in the gym. My gym runs off Spotify. I didn't care who was in there. I turned my sermon on. I was like, you guys want to listen to some music? Okay. And I just turn one of my old sermons on and walk away. And they're like, who is this guy? He's very wise. I said, I know, right? And so we lifted to my sermon. It was pretty cool. So you can do the same thing. Hijack your work radio, whatever it may be. Just go to Anchored Hope Church and you'll find it. But today I want to talk to you about another thing that Jesus never said. We've got 2 weeks left in this sermon, this week and next week. But Jesus never said this. Jesus never said, you get what you deserve. Have you ever said this? People get what they deserve. You get what you deserve. Well, they should get what they deserve. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that before? You know, maybe you've never said it that way, but maybe you've said it a little bit differently. Maybe you've said it like this. I want you guys to help me finish these statements, okay? So we're going to give you the start of the statement. You guys are going to finish it. I know you're going to know these, all right? So what goes around comes around. Good job, all right? Let's go to the next one. Your past will come back to... Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next one. You make your bed, you gotta... Whoa, you got a what in it? Did somebody say sing in it or sleep in it? What'd you say? Sleep in it? No, lie in it. Okay, anyway, we'll talk about that later. I don't know what your mama taught you on Mother's Day, all right? You make your bed, you gotta lie in it. All right, one more. Oh, that's it? That's it? All right, that's all I got. Sorry, I thought there were four. All right. So, you can look at all these things, right? You get what you deserve. What goes around comes around. Your past will come back to haunt you. You make your bed, you got to lie in it. Have you ever said this to somebody? You ever passed on this philosophy to somebody? You ever said this to your kid? You ever said, son, well, what goes around comes around. You ever said to somebody, you know what? Your past, you better watch out because your past is going to come back to haunt you. Or, well, you know what? Well, I'm sorry, son, daughter, honey, you made your bed. Now you got to lie in it on the couch on Mother's Day, all right? You made your bed, now you got to lie in it. It's this idea, this philosophy of this. It's this philosophy that there's a cause and effect, right? The principle of cause and effect, where intent and actions of an individual determine the future of that individual. So, it's like whenever somebody flies by you on the highway, right? You're driving along on the highway and somebody just comes up on your butt on 61 and they just fly by you going like 85. None of you would ever do that. But like Baptists, they would, you know? And they fly by you on the highway, and you're like, you know? And but then, like a mile down the road, what do you see, right? You all know where I'm going, right? They're pulled over. Yeah, the blue lights are going. Justin, you know, Ribrera, our officer, he's outside of his car, you know, tapping on their window, telling them, roll it down, license and registration, you know, that whole bit. And you drive by, and you're like, yeah. You get what you deserve, you know? You know, the other one I should have wrote on here, this was the one that was in my head. You know, you do the crime, right? Or you do the crime, what is it? Pay the time. That's the one I should have put in there, right? That's right, man. And inside it feels good. But it's that idea like, hey, you did something bad, so now something bad's going to happen to you. Now you got your ticket. You know, or another one is like, you know, whenever you might put money in the offering today. You know, you might be generous and you might give some money to us and through our offering today, support the church. And then, you know, you go home or you go to work this week and you find a $20 bill on the ground. And you're like, hey, man, look at that. See, I did something good. You know, instead of my past coming back to haunt me, my past has come back to bless me. Oh, man, isn't that terrific? Wasn't that good? Quick, funny story. So yesterday I took the kids to a party playtime center with the bounce houses, and Livy found a dollar bill in the bounce house. And she was like, it's because I'm a good kid, you know, I got a dollar because I'm a good kid, you know, and she just thought it was like this magical turn of events, you know, where somebody gave her a dollar because she had earned it mystically somewhere in the universe or something. But we kind of have that idea sometime. Or let's say, you know, this is something that might happen to you on Mother's Day. Let's say you were a wild child, you know, some of you, you know, you're talking about, you know. You were a wild child as a teenager. You were a little cray-cray, and you drove your parents a little nuts, right? And now you've had kids, and now your kids, they're crazy version 2.0, right? And they're driving you insane. They're driving you crazy. And your mother or your mother-in-law, they just think it's great. They're like, see, what goes around comes around. You were a demon to me, and now God has given you little demons as well. I love watching you suffer, right? That's what they're thinking in their head. What goes around comes around. You are a bad kid, and so now you've produced little bad mini versions of yourself, and now you can feel my pain, right? That's this idea of what goes around comes around. You get what you deserve. You make your bed, you got to lie in it too. Your past, it will come back to haunt you. And whether you knew it or not, all of those statements, that philosophy, those beliefs, it actually is summed up in a theology, and it's this theology of karma. Have you ever heard of karma before? People say it's bad karma, it's good karma. All of those things, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about karma. And so I'm going to shock your brain a little bit, okay? Just a little bit. Is that if you've ever said those things, if you've ever believed, hey, you know what? What goes around comes around. You make your bed, you got to lie in it. Your past, it will come back to haunt you. If you do good things will happen to you. If you do bad things will happen to you. You've actually been practicing the theology of karma, which actually you've been practicing the religion of Hinduism. So go ahead and turn to the person next to you and go, namaste, namaste. Because you haven't been being very Christian. You've actually been being a little bit more Buddhist. You've actually been being a little bit more Hindu. Because those are the Eastern religions that practice the belief of karma. Now, some of you, I know you're so biblically knowledgeable and stuff, and some of you, I'm just going to avoid myself an email right now. Because actually, there is a little bit of this in the Bible as well. Actually, the Apostle Paul said something that talked about cause and effect. And it's even kind of theologically a little bit karma-ish. And I'll just give it to you because I don't want to get any emails about, well, what about that one verse? Okay, this is the only verse where you could mock the rest of my message, but we'll talk about it. But he said to the church in Galatia, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So maybe this is where a little bit of that belief came from. Maybe this is what you were taught. A man reaps what he sows. And I'm not disagreeing with Paul at all. We all know this to be true. We all know that every action we have, there can make a ripple effect. There are always repercussions that happen because of actions. Nobody's denying that, and none of us can deny that. We all know that actions cause effects. However, The name of the series is Jesus Didn't Say That, not Paul Didn't Say That. So just forget what Paul said for a minute. I get it. We could all argue about that and say, well, that's kind of how the world works. But we're talking about what Jesus said, not what Paul said. So when we look at what Jesus said, Jesus never said that. Actually, there was a man who tested Jesus on this theory, and Jesus corrected him. If we look at the story of Jesus, if you didn't already know, we just celebrated Easter. So we know kind of what happened. We just kind of went over this. But we know that Jesus was taken. Jesus was taken, and he was crucified for our sins. Judas, one of his very own apostles, one of his very own friends, betrayed him, gave him to the law, and the Pharisees and the Jews, they crucified him. And so when they took him through this bogus trial, holding him accountable for all of these things that he apparently did, they took him and they crucified him, they beat him, and then they took him to kill him on a cross. And crucifixions were very famous back then. Crucifixions were these public executions where they would put people on display to kind of scare people off from ever committing these sins. And so we have firsthand accounts of what happened there when Jesus died, what was said, who said what to who, and we actually get the best idea or version of the story out of Luke. Luke was a doctor who was very meticulous, took great details, and he actually got most of his information, his firsthand accounts, from Jesus' mother Mary. And so when you read Luke, you're really reading the information of things that Mary, Jesus' mother, saw. And so when we look at the book of Luke, this is what Mary tells us. Mary tells us in chapter 23 of Luke, he says this, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. So they take Jesus up to this place called the Skull, and they take him to crucify him. They're going to publicly execute him in front of everybody. But they didn't want just Jesus to be there. They had two other guys, two criminals that were both there that were going to be crucified as well. And so they put one on his right, and they put the other on his left. Now, what we know is that, you know, Jesus was innocent. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. This was kind of a messed up thing. But these two other guys, there's no doubt about it. They were bad people. They were bad people who did very, very bad things. And so this was not bogus. This was not a bogus trial type situation. They deserved it. Bad people who did very, very bad things. And so they get put on the cross. And if you've never heard this before, it was very violent, very vicious. Probably the best depiction I've ever seen of it still to this day is the Passion of the Christ movie that Mel Gibson directed. I mean, when you look at him, he gets put on the cross. He's already been beat. He's already bleeding. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. But they would take the hands and they would stretch him out and they would put a nail, it's more like a spike about this long, through his hand into the wood. They would fold his feet over top one another and send a spike over the top of his feet through the other one on top of each other. And that's how they would hang on the cross. And so they get put up on this cross, Jesus in the middle, another criminal on his right, another criminal on the left, bad people who did bad things, and they're hanging there from these nails on the cross. And so one of the men gets an idea. Obviously, he had to be kind of a con man because he tries to con Jesus into not only saving himself, but all of them. And this is what Mary says she heard. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, meaning Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So this man, he's smart. He's a con man. He's thinking to himself, you know what? I know if everybody says is true, then Jesus has got to be powerful. I mean, he's got to have like these abilities or something. He could probably break us out of here. So maybe if I can like rev him up, maybe if I can get him angry, or I can say like, come on, man, you know, get yourself out of this. You don't deserve this thing. Maybe he'll, you know, break out of jail here and he'll take all of us with us. And this will be my way to get out of this thing. And so he's trying to con Jesus into getting them all out of the situation. He doesn't want to do this. He doesn't think he deserves this. He's just trying to get away from the situation. But the other criminal, he says this, the other criminal rebuked the man. And he says, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing. You know, two totally different people in this situation, right? One man, he says, look, we got to get out of here. We shouldn't have to do this. He's just constantly trying to always get out of things. He's just constantly running from his circumstances. But this other man, something profound has happened in this other man's life. This other man, he says, you know what? We do deserve this. We are getting exactly what we deserve. You know what? Everything that we did, every bad thing that we did, you know what? Everything that went around, it is coming back around. Our past, it is coming back to haunt us. You know what? We made our bed, and now we have to lie in it. Don't tell Jesus that he should get us out of here. No, Jesus, he has done nothing wrong. He is innocent. There's no doubt about it. But you and I, man, we are bad people who have done very bad things, and we deserve this. This is justice. We are bad people, and we are getting exactly what we deserve. We deserve this punishment. There's this huge amount of guilt on this man. I mean, you can just see it in his words. I think he's finally come to terms with the fact that he's done some very bad things and he's hurt people, and he just feels like he deserves all this. And you know what? He's just full of guilt. And that's kind of what that guilt brings about, right? That guilt brings about that feeling of, you know what? I don't deserve good things. I deserve bad things. I get what I deserve. You know what? My past, it is just coming back to haunt me. And that feeling of guilt just kind of fills us up and just makes us a glutton for punishment. Almost asking for it because we feel like that's justice to us. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever had that feeling of guilt, felt guilty inside and felt like you deserved punishment, like you deserved bad things? You know, I'll never forget, I got two kids, 4-year-old daughter, 2-year-old son. You know, whenever we had our first kid, Kate had a great career. And so we had to make that hard decision that a lot of other moms do. You know, what do you do when you have a kid? And she had to make the decision to go back to work. And I remember how guilty she felt for it. You know, she had all of these fears in her mind and all this guilt for having to go back to work. And, you know, I remember us talking about it and even these feelings inside of thinking that, you know, if she did go back to work, that bad things would happen. That if she made the wrong decision, that bad things would happen. Like, you know, what if I go back to work and, you know, they forget me? Or what if, you know, they start calling somebody else mom? Or, you know, I'm their mother, I should be with them. And she was just guilt-ridden and just these ideas in her head that if I'm not with them, if I don't do the right thing as their mom, that bad things are going to happen, that it's going to impact our relationship negatively. A couple months ago, we had a marriage retreat. And we had a great marriage retreat. And I had two friends from my gym tell me that they wanted to come. And I didn't think much about it. They're like, hey, I read online that you were doing a marriage retreat. We'd really like to come. Okay, so they signed up and everything else. And then they called me a couple days before and they said, hey, we're not able to go, but we'd love to get our hands on the material. And so we had the marriage retreat, and I'll admit, I kind of drug my feet. You know, I kind of drug my feet getting them the materials, but eventually I got them the materials and stuff, and I gave it to them, but I didn't, like, go over it with them or anything, and I didn't think too much of it, but I gave them the materials. And then just a couple weeks ago, I found out that they were getting a divorce, and I told Kate, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I felt so guilty inside. I thought, oh, man, this is partially my fault. Like, when they said they were coming to marriage, like, this was their last hope. This was their last thing. And, man, I should have treated it more seriously, and I should have got them those materials quicker, and then I should have offered to help, or I should have offered to counsel them. I should have sat down with them. Like, I should have done more. I could have done more. And now look at this. It's coming back to haunt me, and I felt guilt-ridden for a long time because I felt like this is partially my fault, partially something that I did. You ever felt like that? That idea where you feel guilty, you feel like you let somebody down, you feel like you could have done more, you felt like their situation in the future, all the things that end up happening, it's partially your fault because you should have said something, you should have done something, you should have warned them, you should have helped them out, but because you didn't, bad things occur. or even in your life spiritually, your relationship with God. Have you ever felt like bad things happened because you weren't doing enough good things? Have you ever felt like guilt for not reading your Bible or not going to church enough or not praying enough, and you thought, oh man, this is happening because I haven't been a good person. I should have been doing more good things. I should have been reading my Bible. I should have been going to church, and all of this is happening because I've been doing bad things. That guilt inside of us can kind of eat at us, eat away at us, to the point where we get like, you know what? The bad things that are happening, they're my fault. It's because I didn't do good. It's karma. What went around, it's coming back around. I made my bed and now I gotta lie in it. I deserve this punishment. This is justice, so now I'm just gonna take it. I can't tell you how many people I've met that feel that way. And so what they do is they just give up. Because they feel like they've done so much bad, there is no amount of good they could possibly do to make up for the bad that they've had. You know, parents feel that way all the time. You know, when you're going through stuff, you're going through seasons, you're going through addiction, you're going through financial problems, you're going through marriage problems, and you're not being the parent that you know that you should be, that you could be, and you mess it all up and you do some bad things, and then it's like, you know, you try to come back to them when they're in their 20s or their 30s, and they're just like, they kind of write you off, and it's just like, I can't repair this. I did such a bad job when they were little. I did such a bad job back then. Now it feels like it's too far gone, and so you just give up, and you're like, well, this is what I deserve. I deserve to be hated. I deserve to be called the names that you call me. I deserve to be left out. I deserve to be shunned. This is what's supposed to happen, because this is what happens. When you do bad things, you get bad things. What goes around comes around. I've made my bed, and now I gotta lie in it. You just feel like you're taking on what you deserve. This is exactly how this man on the cross felt. He just reached the end. He reached his point. And he said, you know what? Let's not fight this. Let's not put up any resistance. We deserve this. He doesn't, but we deserve this. This is justice. And he was at this point and he knew, you know what? I can't do anything to earn my standing with God. He didn't have any time to walk the straight and narrow. He didn't have time to perform any good works. He didn't have any time to join a church. He didn't have any time to turn over a new leaf. This was him on his deathbed. He was done. He was finished. There was nothing else he could do. And he gave up. And he said, you know what? Let's just take this on. Because we deserve this. And what's so interesting is what happened next. Because what happened next is that Jesus disagrees with the man. And Jesus turns to this criminal and he says this. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What? What just happened there? This man didn't go run off and join a church. He didn't even really confess so much. He owned it. He took responsibility for it. But he didn't run off and join a church. He didn't go down to an altar and pray a special prayer. He didn't go take communion. He didn't go get baptized. He didn't have a couple months to, you know, do some good things. He just owned it, took it on. And Jesus turns to him and goes, hey man, don't sweat it. You're good. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. He doesn't say like, hey, it's okay. You'll be all right. We'll talk about it when we get to heaven, you know? Or you know what? I'll remember this when we get there. Maybe it'll earn you some good points. No, he just turns to him and goes, don't worry. You're going to heaven today. No big deal. You're going to go to paradise today. Now imagine for a minute if you were somebody in that crowd watching this crucifixion and you weren't so much there for Jesus, you were there about that other guy. That other guy hurt your family. That other guy did something to your friend. That other guy took something away from you. Really bad guy, did a really bad thing. And you're overhearing this and Jesus turns to the guy and is like, don't worry about it. You're going to be with me in paradise. Don't be concerned. Don't worry at all. And you're probably looking there and going, hold on, time out. Wait a minute. No. That guy did bad things. Like, this is justice. This is the justice system. He's getting what he deserves. And I'm a Christian. Let's say this guy was a Jew. He was a good Jew. He was an awesome Jew. He was a good God-following Jew. And he was going to heaven. Maybe even he was a follower of Jesus. And he's like, no, I'm going to heaven. because I'm a good person. I've been a Christian. I tithe, I go to church, I don't do anything bad. I haven't hurt anybody. That guy, though, big bad guy. No, I'm going to paradise. He is not. We should not be at the same resort. That's not how this works. He should go to hell. I think you should tell that person, Jesus, you should turn to that person and go, truly I tell you, you're going to hell today. And everybody would applaud. He's like, yeah, because he's a bad guy. But that's not what he says. Jesus turns to the man and goes, you're not going to get what you deserve. Truly, I tell you, you will join me in heaven. You will be in paradise with me very, very soon. Would that bother you? Would that bother you, somebody who hurt your family, somebody who killed someone you knew, someone who did terrible things to your children? Would it bother you if Jesus didn't punish this man? He didn't give him what he deserved? He didn't make what came around come back around to him? He didn't make him lie in his bed? No, instead Jesus goes, hey, you know what? Today, what went around, not coming back around, your bed that you made, you don't have to lie in it. Here's a new bed. You know what? You don't deserve this. I'm going to give you something else. Would that bother you a little bit? I think if we were all honest, we would admit that it would bother us just a little bit. But here's the thing that we have to understand is that Jesus didn't say, I came to give you what you deserve. Jesus didn't come to dish out punishment. Jesus came to do this. Jesus would say, here's what I need you guys to understand. I didn't come to make bad people good. I came to make dead people alive. I need you to understand, I didn't come to make people feel guilty. I came to make people feel free. If Jesus could talk to us, he would say, I didn't come searching for the sheep that were safe. I came searching for the one who was lost. I didn't come to give you what you deserve. I came to die for what you deserve. I didn't come to be your executioner. I came to take on your execution. See, the thing you have to understand about Jesus that a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their mind around is that Jesus didn't come to give us what we deserve. He came to set us free from what we deserve. He didn't come back to make bad people have to earn their position back or be good people. He came to bring dead people back to life. He didn't come to make you feel guilty or bad about your past, and he didn't make you to come to pay for your past. He came to pay the debt for you so that you could feel free of guilt, so that you could experience paradise today. There is nobody here who deserves anything, but yet God gave us grace and mercy anyways. Isn't that awesome? Does that not make you happy? You're staring at me with blank faces. This is like the best news you could ever receive. This man who deserved punishment, who deserved hell, at the last moment when he owned it for himself, he didn't have to do anything for it. He didn't have to pray any special prayer. He didn't have to go see a priest or go through anything magical. Jesus just looks at him and says, today you don't get what you deserve. Today you don't have to earn anything, but today I'm giving you paradise anyway. That is the gospel, guys. That is the good news. That is who Jesus is, and that is who Jesus came to be. King David, he knew exactly what this was like. This is what he wrote in the Psalms. He says, God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, you don't get just how merciful he is. You don't get how grace-filled he is. He's so gracious and he's so merciful and his love is so immaculate that he doesn't just say, I forgive you. He says, I have forgotten about it. I have removed your past. I have forgotten your transgressions. I'm not going to give you what you deserve, or I'm not going to repay you with any type of vengeance. I am setting you free, and it's as easy as that. That's how much I love you. That's how good it is. But see, we've never experienced that on a human level ever, have we? Never before have you experienced that from your spouse. Never before have you experienced that from a parent or another person where you just said, hey, look, I'm sorry. And almost even before you could finish it, they're like, it's forgotten. I mean, they say that, but they don't mean it, right? Because they still give you that eye, you know what I mean? But they're like, oh, no, I forgive you. Really? And you still have to ask? Really? Really? But really? Do you? No, yeah, well, I mean, you could do the dishes. That would help. But, you know, but you still feel like you have to earn it. You still feel like you have to pay them back, like you have to earn points. Jesus goes, no, I'm not like that. I'm different than anybody you've ever encountered. I'm different than anybody you ever know. I haven't come to make you feel guilty. I haven't come to rub it in your face. I haven't even come to talk about it or for you to give me an explanation of why you did what you did. I've just come to set you free, period. And you don't have to earn it, and I'm not here to give you what you deserve. Man, isn't that great? How much God loves you. How much God, how merciful he is, how graceful he is, the fact that you could screw up so bad. You could screw up for so many years. You could do some terrible, terrible things. And yeah, we all know, we'll agree with Paul. We'll agree a little bit with Buddha. We all know things in this earth have repercussions because not everybody forgives like Jesus. Everything we do has repercussions. You can't deny that. But when it comes to Jesus and what Jesus says, I forgive. Jesus says, I've forgotten. Jesus says, I am like nobody else. Jesus says, I'm not going to hold this over your head. Jesus goes, don't feel guilty for what you did. There's a lot of reasons why you did what you did. Some of them right, some of them wrong. But don't feel bad. I haven't come to make you feel bad. I've come to make you feel free. I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how much I accept you. I want you to know that nothing you've done could ever keep you from me. And you're the exact reason I came. I didn't come for religious people. I didn't come for good people. Because here's the truth. What Jesus would probably say to that person in the crowd, what Jesus would say to you is, look, you're not as good as you think. I mean, by legal standards, you're a good law-abiding citizen. But by heart standards, all of you guys are sinners. None of you are perfect. I'm the only one who's perfect. I'm not me, your pastor. Jesus, all right? I saw Rhonda where she was going, all right? Not me. But Jesus would say, I'm the only one that's perfect here. Jesus would, all right? I'm the only one that's perfect. You've all sinned. None of you have earned heaven. None of you deserve heaven. But I'm giving it to you all anyway because I love you. Now, that's great news. I expected a little bit more amen, but I'm going to let you pass, all right? But, yeah, that's good too, Rhonda. So what does that do, though? What does that mean? Because I think we've all heard this good news message before a little bit. Maybe that's why you're being Troy-ish right now. But what does that mean for us? How does that impact our life? Well, here's the thing. The first thing it means is this. First thing is, we got to give others grace. Now, that's probably the hardest part of this. And that's maybe probably the thing we realize. Is that what this means is that we've got to show others what Jesus has shown us. And that is really hard. You know, it's amazing to me. I think if I wasn't a pastor, I'd probably be a sociologist or something because I love to study people. But, you know, I follow a lot of the different, like, news outlets and stuff on social media and things. And, you know, every once in a while, you'll see there's one Lincoln County one specifically that loves to put up the mugshot of the person. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're like, here's this bad person who did this bad thing. And they love to show you their mugshot. You know, they've already captured them. But just so you know who this person is, here's what they look like. And so they give you their mugshot, right? And what I always do, I'm curious. I always click on the comment section. Have you ever done this before? Click on the comment section. Some of you, you're the ones in the comment section. And by the way, if we're friends, it says your friend, your pastor. Here's what they said, okay? So I can see what you say. But anyway, I always click on the comment section. And you know, I'm not disagreeing. Hey, man, there's some bad people who do some bad things. Man, it breaks my heart sometimes when I read about like a neglectful parent, or if I read somebody who abused somebody, or if you read about somebody who, you know, took somebody's life or tried to take somebody's life. Like, I don't disagree. Those are bad things. But here's what always amazes me, what almost shocks me, what makes me sad, is if you click on that comment section, you don't see anybody going, I'm glad you caught him. Glad it's over. What you see in those comment sections, what's so ugly about social media today, is you see people wish harm upon that person. You see people go, I hope that when he gets to prison, blankety blankety blank happens to him. I mean, they don't wish, like, I hope justice is swift and he gets a fair trial, and but that, you know, in his time in prison, he is rehabilitated. No, it's like off with his head is what it's like. I mean, it's some dirty, violent, ugly wishes and hopes of harm on another person's life who they've probably never met. And it shocks me. And I look at it, and sometimes, I'm not kidding, sometimes I'll go click on that person's profile. And sometimes it'll tell me where they go to church. Or sometimes under religious views, it'll say Christian. And I'm going, ain't nothing Christian about what they just wrote. See, we are so quick to judge people, to call people names, to photograph people, and to talk bad about people, and to comment on people, and to wish harm upon people, to be the judge and jury of people before anything has even been decided. We are so quick to do it with so many different people. And the truth is that what we should be doing is we should be giving grace to people. There's never a point where we should go, well, you get what you deserve. Well, you made your bed, and now you got to lie in it. Well, you know what? This is just your past coming back to haunt you, and I told you it was going to be this way, and you should have listened to me. Or you know what? What goes around comes around, and this is it for you, buddy. No, what we should be doing is we should be extending the same grace and mercy and love and forgiveness to other people, even the people who harm us, even the people who hurt us. Who are we to deny what Jesus has freely given to us? Yet we do it so often, so crudely, so hatefully, so just awfully. When what we should be doing is giving others the same grace that God has given us. The second thing is this, though. You need to give yourself grace. There's a line from a movie. It's called Hardball with Keanu Reeves. Old movie. But it's a good movie. There's a line in it that I always remember, and I'll clean it up for you. So if you go watch it, it doesn't say it like this. But he says, you want to beat me up? Nobody can beat me up like I can. You know that feeling? Nobody can beat me up like I can. You know, for a lot of you, this is me. Maybe you're like me. People don't so much hurt me. People's words don't hurt me. They can hurt me. They can cut me pretty deep. But I am my own worst enemy. Nobody says negative things to me like I can say to myself. Nobody can hurt me like I can hurt myself. Usually the thing that I'm most upset about, the times I feel most guilty, it's my voice in my head that I listen to that makes me feel beat up, that makes me feel not enough, that makes me feel undeserving. And I'll be really straight with you as your pastor. You know, it's hard. It's hard to not believe that what goes around comes around, or you know what, you get what you deserve. I cannot tell you how many times when things are going bad with the church, when we're going through something, when we're hurting as a church, there are so many times I hate being in the office here because it's an office of one. I'm here by myself. It's too much time to think. But I cannot tell you when things are going wrong how easily what I do to myself in my head is, you know why the church is failing right now. You know why things aren't good. It's because of you. You're the problem. You've done bad things, and this is what's come from your bad decisions. What went around came around, and you did bad things, and that's why the church is doing badly right now. And internally, I beat myself up. There have even been times where I've told myself, I've even told to Kate, I think I need to not be the pastor anymore. And she's like, why would you say that? Because bad things are happening. It's probably my fault. I'm the leader. I'm the pastor. It's on me. So, you know, this is karma. And it should probably be better if I removed myself. I have that internal guilt. But in those moments, when I finally snap out of it and wake up, I know that that's the enemy trying to steal my joy. I know that that's the enemy trying to take me out of my game. I know that that's him trying to distract me from what's really going on. I know that's him trying to defeat me and beat me down. And here's the thing, some of you guys who deal with depression or anxiety or guilt inside, that's not because of something physical, but because of things that you hear and say to yourself. Here's the thing, nobody beats you up like you can. And here's the thing, you might even be good like I am at showing others grace, but you are horrible at giving yourself grace. And here's the thing that some of you need to hear more than anything else. You need to show yourself grace today. You need to set yourself free. You can't sit up there on that cross like that criminal and go, let's just take this. I deserve it. This is justice. Bring it on. Everybody, you know what? I am whatever you say I am. No, that cannot be what you do. Jesus doesn't want you to even live like that. Jesus turned to the man and goes, no, don't say that to yourself. It's okay. Today, you're going to be in paradise, man. And what Jesus wants so many of you to know is that paradise is waiting for you, but honestly, you're the person who's keeping yourself from it because no one beats you up like you do. And you need to set yourself free. You need to show yourself grace. I'm going to quote Avengers right now. I know, right? Two movie quotes. One of my favorite lines from the movie, and I won't spoil anything for you, but one person turns to another, and they say, you will always fail at being who you're supposed to be, but you can never fail at being who you are. You will always fail at being who you're supposed to be, but you can never fail at being who you are. And I'm going to turn that into a spiritual thing, and I'm going to say this. You are a child of God. I know externally and internally you have this pressure to be somebody, to be this ideal husband, this ideal mother, this ideal coworker, this ideal person, this ideal parent, this ideal father, this ideal mother, this ideal spouse. You are going to fail at being that ideal image that you have adopted. But you can never fail at being who you're supposed to be, and all that you are supposed to be is a child of God. Jesus never said you get what you deserve. Jesus said, I have come to set you free. I have not come to give you what you deserve. I have come to take what you deserve. And he showed you grace and he showed you mercy. And what that should do, how that should impact you is you need to show others grace and mercy. God said, love God. Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That means everybody. Love your enemy. But he also said this. He also said that you need to forgive yourself. Love yourself, not just God and your neighbor, but love yourself too. Show yourself grace. Jesus probably knew that we would need to be reminded of this a lot of different times. And so he gave us something to remember it by. He set his disciples down right before what happened. And he said, hey, I want to do something with you guys. I want you to do this in remembrance of what's about to happen. And they had no idea what that meant at the time. But he said, I want you to take this bread and I want you to take this cup. I want you to take this bread and it remind you my body's broken for you because I loved you. And I want you to take this cup and I want you to remember this is like my blood shed for you because I love you. So we're going to do that this morning. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. They're going to start to play. And what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And you know, there's nothing magical about communion. It's just an outward sign of something we're reminded of. And this morning, we're going to take communion, and we're also going to sing one of my favorite songs, Reckless Love. And the reason I chose this song is, it says in there specifically, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you gave your love for me. And this morning, maybe you already knew this, but I want you to sink down deep and it reminds you that how much God loves you and how much love you need to show others and how much love you need to show yourself. And so Kate's got some helpers. They're going to go grab the elements. And the great news is, if you haven't been here before, we always usually do it by dipping. I stole fancy trays from my father's church, and we don't have to do that this morning. We're doing the little cup version this morning, so that's a good thing. We don't have to dip our fingers in anything. But so they're going to come around. We've never done this before. One of them's going to go down the center aisle. The two are going to be on the outside. And we're going to pass a cup and a piece of bread to you. And we're going to take communion today. And in this moment, I want it to just be a reminder of how much God loves you. That God's grace is for you. That he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And here's the thing. Maybe this morning you're feeling dead inside. God has come to bring you alive. God has come to resurrect your soul. God has come to fill you up with joy and to let you know that you are forgiven and that you don't have to earn anything, that you don't have to be a good person. This is not about being a good person. This is about being a child of God. This is about accepting love for yourself. This is about knowing who you are in him. Because you will always fail at being who you're supposed to be, but you can never fail at being a child of God. So as we take communion, I want you to just hold those elements in your hand. We're going to do it together. But I want you to stand. And as we stand, I'm going to pray. And they're going to continue to pass the elements. We're going to wait till everybody gets one. But I want you to just go ahead and stand with me. And we're going to pray. And as we pray, I want you to just right now think about maybe there's somebody in your life you need to show grace to. Maybe there's somebody, man, you have held a grudge. And I get it. It's hard. There's somebody you hate. There's somebody you can't forgive. I understand that feeling. Those feelings are legitimate. That bad thing that happened, I understand. But today, you need to not only set yourself free, but you need to let it, you need to set them free. You need to show grace today. Maybe you need to give yourself grace. Maybe you need to let yourself be okay. Maybe you need to show yourself some mercy today. Let's pray together. God, this morning, we are reminded of the sacrifice your son Jesus Christ gave for us. God, you so loved us that you gave your one and only son. And God, this morning, we're given this opportunity, we're given this reminder to remember that your son gave it to us freely. Your son said, you don't get what you deserve. You get this free gift that I want to give you because I love you, because I care about you. And so God, this morning, we are reminded about that and we remember that. And this morning, God, we first take the bread and we remember that your body has been broken for us, that you took on our punishment that we deserved. You did not deserve it. You took it on because you loved us. And so God, as we take this bread, may we be reminded that this represents your body broken for us. Go ahead and take that bread. And then God, we remember the blood that was shed for us. God, the Old Testament law says that a sacrifice had to be made for an atonement for sin. Blood had to be shed. There's no way around it. A life had to be given. And God, instead of us ever having to give another sacrifice, for us to never have to give another thing up, for us to never have to shed an ounce or a drop of our blood, you shed yours for us. And so God, this morning, as we take the juice, we are reminded this morning that your blood was shed for us because you loved us. Go ahead and drink of the cup. God, this morning, as we taste that bread, as we taste that juice, the sweetness of it, God, reminds us of how good you are. The sweetness of it reminds us how much you love us. God, this morning, we are reminded of that. And it breaks our heart because we do not deserve it and we do not earn it. And God, I pray that we would show ourselves that grace this morning. I pray that we would show others that grace as well. And God, as we sing and as we worship you, the altars are open. God, if we need to come pray, if we need to come talk to you about it, if we need to release ourselves and say, God, I want to let it go. I need to stop being so hard on myself. I need to quit with these expectations I've put on myself. God, then would you set us free today? Because that's exactly what you came to do. So God, as we worship you, would you hear our prayers and would you hear our hearts? In your name we pray, amen. Let's sing this morning together.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.